Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up here in just a moment, we'll continue joyfully with Jolie from the front desk. And today's installment of How Chicks Think. Later on this hour, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero here. Talk to Clyde about he unleashed a demon or a monkey or something somewhere this weekend. So we'll talk to him about that. And we'll talk to him about his War of the Worlds tribute, which is like the greatest thing he's ever done. And Clyde's show is pretty much just stunning on a weekly basis. Anyway, so we'll talk to him a little bit about that. We've got, what else? Oh, today's top five, which is terrible. It's all terrible. Every single one of the songs, I think with one exception, is terrible. Top five songs from this week in 1985. It was
a brilliant top five. What are you talking about?
What is it, 18 years ago? 18 years ago this week that Microsoft released Windows for the first time. And so we will honor that historic day in the computing history with today's top five. So that's coming up. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Oh, by the way, speaking of all things musical, it should be noted that the House... And was ever a concert more ill-matched with its promoter? House of Blues will be bringing Mariah Carey to Portland.
Woo!
The Schnitzer Concert Hall. Mariah Carey's career is truly the stuff of legend, legend, legend. Possessing a spectacular 7-octave range. That is made up. Where's Kristen? Okay, when Kristen gets back, we're going to talk about that, because that's a bunch of crap. 7-octave range would make you like an alien. You wouldn't even be human if you had a 7-octave range. 7-octave range, you'd be that chick from The Fifth Element. All right, anyway. Billboard's Artist of the Decade. World Music Award. The World Music Award. All right. World's Best-Selling Female Artist of the Millennium. God, man, just the end of time is at hand. Mariah Carey is sort of the Robin Williams of the music world. Robin Williams, and we've talked about this before, Robin Williams, one of those guys, not really funny to anybody that I know, not really funny to anybody you know, was funny for like 4.5 minutes back in 1983, was funny when he was wearing rainbow suspenders, but you know what, Robin Williams quit being funny the same time that rainbow suspenders stopped being hip. Anybody you see wearing rainbow suspenders now, tool, nothing but a tool. You know what they are? They're a tool chest. They're a full-on tool shed. They're a tool and die company. You see that? Anyway, but we all think that Robin... I know. We've all been told that Robin Williams is funny so many times, though, that people just sort of recited, "Who's the funniest guy on earth?" Robin Williams. It's not really true, but you've just been told that it's the case so often that you think it's true. So it is with Mariah Carey. We've all been told so often and for so long that Mariah Carey's a great singer that we just sort of mindlessly accept it and regurgitate it as fact, even though it's not really true. Kristen, let me ask you this. This press release here from House of Blues says that Mariah Carey has, I'm quoting now, a spectacular 7-octave range. That is a bunch of crap, isn't it? No one on earth has a 7-octave range. Like, 5 is considered superhuman.
You know, I'm really not sure. I think it is kind of a fib.
Yeah.
It's like one of those...
Like, Julie Andrews is 5.
Yeah, and that's an operatic.
Yeah.
Because Mariah Carey doesn't even use... I mean, obviously, you can't use your normal voice. You go up into your head voice, and then she goes up into that whistle range.
Yeah.
Which isn't even technically...
Yeah, I'm singing the dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really not singing. That just sounds like there's a steam leak somewhere.
Well, and there's something to be said for, you know, yeah, she's got this voice. She's got an instrument that's just beautiful. But that doesn't mean she necessarily knows how to use it.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, hitting everybody with every trick in the book on every freaking song just shows you have no clue what soul and feeling and
we call
know,
that the
musicianship is about.
Method.
Maybe
yeah.
She hit those notes going cold turkey in rehab.
Way to go. There you go. Always there to put the journalistic boot in, Jim Riley. But Mariah Carey using, I mean, which is born with a great voice. I mean, she had a gift. It is the very definition of
a gift.
I mean,
it's a beautiful instrument. She has, same thing with Whitney Houston. She has a beautiful voice, but, you know, you got to be able to know when to use it and when to pull back. And you know.
But that's the thing about Mariah Carey. She's like a lot of singers of the last 10 years. I don't mean to be one of those everything was bad, better, but you know, but I mean, but that's what it is, man. It sounds like she's riding a Coney Island coaster.
And it's proof positive that these people don't know how to sing because they can't find the damn note.
Yeah,
they're singing everything around it, but
on
if
the
you
goddamn page.
They ask them to sing a note, they don't know what to do.
But rhythm and blues has just gone into the toilet, man. R&B music. It's impossible to think that Motown, you know, you take like the Four Tops or something, you know, to think that coexists in the same genre ostensibly as Mariah Carey is just inconceivable.
Yeah.
But using Mariah Carey to sing that Drek, I mean, she's got a great voice, but singing her terrible songs with it, you know, her songs which are all interchangeable with one another. You know what it is? It's like Charles Mingus deciding to sit in with it and play some Kids of Whitney High music. It just... You know, it just doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's completely mismatched. Anyway, so possessing a spectacular and fictitious seven-octave range.
Clear your schedules for this one, kids. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Be there for that. Yeah, there's a thing. And by the way, it's coming December 9th, so you make sure to be out of town or be at home yanking out your own teeth with a pair of pliers, maybe. On a brighter note, coming at the Aladdin Theater December 11th, Rufus Wainwright. So, Rufus Wainwright's got the... he was just on... What, he was just on, like, on Conan or Jimmy Kimmel or something a couple weeks ago? Got a new CD out now. It's called The Thing. Want One, what it's called. And some other people I've never heard of. And finally, before we get to Tim Riley in the KOGK Newsroom, only then to come back to Joel Eve in the front desk to be followed up by Clyde Lewis on the top five, it should be noted I've got here an inner office memo from Intercom Broadcasting. I'm not making this up, by the way.
Are they getting you a coffee maker?
No. That's the funny part. We don't actually have a coffee maker, but you know what we've got? The Intercom Portland defibrillator kit is now here. Good afternoon, everyone. This message is to inform everyone that the portable defibrillator is now hung in the mailroom. Not here, of course, where it could save lives. If there's a medical emergency in the building that requires someone to be defibrillated, which should tell you, by the way, something about the horrible, terrible... You know, weasels in a bag nature of the radio business. This is where you'll find this piece of equipment. A note of caution. The defibrillator is not for entertainment purposes. It is enclosed in a case that is not locked. That's a good idea, but is alarmed. If you open the cabinet, we'll set up the alarm and we will all know who did it. Do not touch the defibrillator unless you are planning on saving a life at that exact moment. So there you go. Kids, the defibrillator is not a toy. And the problem with that is that when you see the defibrillator, the urge to grab it and clamp it on the chest of the first person you see and yell clear is just going to be overwhelming. You know what the defibrillator is? It is the jolly candy-like button, you know, that just sits there. You look at it, you want to touch it, the button that says do not press, and you just sit there and you stare at it for hours and hours and hours on it. We're going to come back with David and Happy Rock, as well as Jolie and Kristen. This, however, is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
During the Trailblazers' final timeout last night, apparently one fan had enough. The fan came down to the bench and started heckling Rasheed Wallace. Maybe he's holding some bad pot or something. Then Bonzi Wells appeared to make an obscene gesture at the fan, who was then shooed away by a security guard. Afterward, Wells denied making the gesture. The Blazers lost last night. Whoever they played, the 76ers, I guess. Opie and Andy have become immortalized in bronze. The stars of the Andy Griffith Show on hand as the statue was unveiled in a Raleigh, North Carolina park. It weighs 800 pounds. The plaque says, a simpler time, a sweeter place, a lesson, a laugh, and a father and son. TV Land Cable Network agrees to pay for and maintain the statue at no cost to the city. Tanzania has banned imports of used underwear and will enforce the health measure by inspecting consignments of secondhand clothing for offending items. We want to protect users of such goods, especially underwear, nightdresses, brassieres, and socks, says Tanzania's Bureau of Standards. Said the ban will be imposed to prevent Tanzanian buyers developing rashes and even venereal diseases after wearing secondhand underwear.
Who wears secondhand underwear? I mean,
Tanzanians.
That's always oogie.
I mean, it's, you know, the only people who are into secondhand underwear are the Japanese. The Japanese have got those vending machines where you can buy the soiled panties worn by schoolgirls.
Well, when we were at Value Village, they had at Value Village, you know, they've got the women's blouses, women's sweaters, underwear. It's like, who's going to buy used underwear at Value Village?
It's really, just skip it at that point. You're better off just
going without. You're better off without, yeah.
Anyway, and a personal thanks to Lorne, who makes his own candles, Wicked Wicks, handcrafted candles in Portland, brought me a cedar one. I think everyone got one.
I got one that smells of coffee.
Mine smells like pomegranate.
I got a big square candle that smells of coffee. Thanks
to Lorne. Mine smells like rain.
I didn't get one, and I don't think Kristen got
one
either.
That's because no one likes you.
It's also Lauren's birthday today.
God, why were you even born? You're so mean.
Listen to that. Why
you are mean.
This
I love candles. I had a candle party.
All right. Are we done with the news?
I think
we had a sex toy party, too, didn't you?
Seriously.
Next news when it happens.
I did not have one.
Lauren, by the way, is a dead ringer for Andrew Carver from Showgirls, the guy that gets the snot kicked out of him by Elizabeth Berkley. He's also the guy who will forever be known as the man who called Sarah's pictures short and fat. So there, and he's, the great thing about it is, though, he spent... Oh, now see, why you gotta say that? Why you gotta take it to that level?
It's his birthday, I've gotta treat him mighty nice.
The thing is, he's the one who, at Billy Reid's, was really drunk. I mean, he's a nice guy, we've talked to him since then. But he said, oh, Sarah, you're a lot better looking in person. Those pictures on the website make you look short and fat.
Has he taken that back?
He's taken it back, but note how he's spending the rest of his life trying to make up for it. See, note the free stuff he just brought.
And I ran into him at a bar one time, and he sang.
Did he buy you a drink?
No, he sang a karaoke song titled Sarah.
Was it Jefferson Starship?
It was.
Yeah. Did you get tired of people singing that to you in school?
No, nobody ever sang it to me.
No one ever sang.
Mm-mm.
Storms are brewing in your eyes.
Stop. That.
She was a little too young for that,
yeah,
actually.
Five
when she was in
range.
School.
All right. Okay, we got this. This is from. Snopes. Oh, Snopes. Barbara Mickelson and company. Okay. Snopes, home of urban legend debunking. Claim, Mariah Carey possesses a 7-octave vocal range. False. And it says a 4-octave range is remarkable. A 5-octave range is extraordinary. And that's...
I thought it was almost, like, physically impossible.
A 7-octave voice would give a singer the range of a piano. So...
See, well, and I think when they say... It's like one of those made-up... kind of things, because I think it's once you add in those whistle things, which aren't really a vocal.
So this is like if you do it in the metric system or
yeah,
something?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's, right. You know.
We got this from Michael. Rick, funny how 15 years ago her promoters boasted that she had a 3-octave range, which was not believable even then. This is what we call the promotional Hail Mary. It's something akin to just saying, we are at war, remember 9/11, or the future of our children, or do it for the kids, or rape rooms, over and over and over again. Michael, big pimpin' in P-Town.
See, right. I think I remember something in my acoustics class when I was in college about that, but I failed acoustics, so yeah, I don't quite remember.
Done completely off the track.
Failed? The only class I failed in college.
Could we have gotten farther off the point? We're going to return in just a moment. David is a full-time listener.
Oh, I'm sorry.
David, what's up with you, brother?
Yeah, leeches. I had them.
just go right back there. Let's pull it back to like an hour ago. Okay.
Well, I called an hour ago.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I got a spider bite in a certain Southeast Asian country from hell. And I was told, well, we can evac you to Singapore, but there's nothing we can do. And I was told about how it was going to separate, and there would be pus and ickiness and bad things.
The great word pus is, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so anyway, they were able to get a couple of their leeches off the ice. About a dozen of them, and they pulled a stocking over my arm so they could pull them off if they needed to, which kind of scared me. And I sent my driver across the street for a fifth of Russian vodka. And I sat there and had them suck it out.
And so they just said, you'll want to drink this while we give you a leeching.
No, they had no part in that. That was mine.
Oh, okay. You're like, dude, get me the booze. I'm not leeching without hooch.
Yeah.
And did it work?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Still, it was still painful as hell, man. Spiders, they're bad.
Well, you know, it's like, leech is one of those things. It's like all that stuff that they always, there used to be this old wives' tale hundreds of years ago that, you know, if you had a wound, you would just, like, wrap it in, like, a poultice of moldy bread. And everybody was like, moldy bread? You're insane! But, of course, you know, it was like penicillin before they even knew what it was, so.
Hey, you want to hear about what happens to leeches?
Not so much as you might think. I started to believe, but, all right, there you go, there's David and Happy Rock. Offering to, but if you ever, you know, want leech information, he's apparently the man to go to. He's leech-tastic. Okay. Like an hour and a half ago, we were talking to Jolie about this question. Good God. We need like a 9-hour show, you know, some days. Some days we just come in here and it's just like all we can do just to even stay just close to on time. All right.
Yeah, I do have to get back to work sometime soon.
Yeah, those Alan Jackson CDs aren't going to give themselves away, so. So we had this question from a listener. And the question was, guy, girl, living together, long-term relationship. He's hanging out a lot with a female friend. And I think on at least one occasion, the letter said had stayed the night there, but said that he just slept on the couch. Doesn't say how far away, you know, the woman lived or whether it was like in Kansas or whether it was down the street or something. And so the question is, she basically said, should I be suspicious? And where do you draw the line when you're in a relationship with the person hanging out with a friend of the opposite sex? How do you know when enough is? Because, you know, Likas would say that men and women can't be friends. Somebody's always trying to, one person's always trying to bone the other in that equation.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't agree with that all the time. But in this particular instance, just from reading the email, makes me very suspicious. And, I mean, yeah, he swears he was on the couch. But he didn't say that she was or was not there or where she slept.
Well, that's true. That is, and guys do that sort of Jesuit word parsing sometimes, where it's like, well, where did you sleep? I was on the couch.
Uh-huh. And then nothing sexual has occurred. Well, it could be, you know, kind of like Clinton and, relations, you know,
yeah.
But it's kind of that same thing with what Likas says, you know. I mean, you know he's thinking about it, obviously, if he's spending this time with her. But basically, you know, you kind of have to think about, is he spending more time with her than with this other girl, the friend?
And I would say, is there like a legitimate reason other than the fact that they're pals for them to be hanging out together?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I'll give you an example. Like Sarah and I, a couple times, we do the shopping trip, you know, we're all going to, you know, Value Village, going to, you know, get a costume, whatnot. It's the thing, you know, Sarah and I are, not that I don't adore Sarah, but it's not like, you know, we're not just going out to, like, chill, because we're buds, you know, it's like, we're just, you know,
you're
we're
not
going
staying
to,
on my couch.
Yeah, I'm not going around the sleep in her house, you know, because I had to get a wig to be Andrew WK. Can I stay on your sofa? It's like, there's a real legitimate reason there. I mean, you know, so if there's a supplementary reason, in other words, if she's a coworker, or they're doing a thing, or they're working on a project or something, he's got to do that, that's one thing.
Right.
If he's doing it just because they're friends, and he ends up staying out late and sleeping on her couch, it's like, dude, you're not in the frat house anymore. You got to get a different set of parameters.
Yeah, does it say under what circumstances he stayed over?
No.
It just says they were friends. They've gone into, quote, social engagements together, and at least once slept on her couch.
So he's a little too intoxicated, and he has to pass out on her couch?
Yeah, he didn't even say anything about being drunk, so, you know. Basically, it's a huge thing about respect, and you don't, I mean, if you're committed to a girlfriend, to a woman, you don't go sleeping over at other girls' houses.
Well, you kind of switch the scenario. Say that what if he was just constantly out with his male friends and sleeping at their houses? You'd still have a little bit of a problem
with
that.
Well, yeah.
Not because you think he's, like, humping his friends, but because it's like he's, you know, because, again, it's like you're in a relationship, you got to kind of grow up, and, you know, you've got to live by a different code.
Well, and it also depends, I'm going to throw my two cents in here, it also depends on how much he's actually telling the girlfriend.
Which you obviously know is not enough.
Yeah, well, since she's writing, yeah, that's obviously part of the case.
Right.
But my also, another comment real quick, is let me, you know, defend the male for a minute and say, what if... This woman should also have a set of parameters. In other words, she must know that he has a girlfriend at home. What is her intention? Why is she returning if he's the one instigating the calls, why is she returning calls? Why is she agreeing to see him? Any woman in her right mind, I think Sarah will agree with me on this,
mm-hmm.
you don't encourage a guy who you know is involved with someone else.
Yes, you do, because you're like conniving and competitive with other women. And if you can take what she got, you will, because it's like fun.
So Matt's, yeah. So you're falling down on that they're attention whores, and that's why.
Well, I mean, if the guy's staying at her house and the girlfriend at home that he's living with has any doubts that there might be something going on with this other girl, there is.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that because she's writing in, and that's the line that as far as, you know, has the friendship crossed the line, and how do you determine that? If it makes you feel uncomfortable in any sort of way, and if you bring it up to your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and, you know, I'm imagining that he's just saying, oh, we're just friends, there's nothing sexual happening, and whatever. I mean, that sort of feeling is the women have that instinct, and you have to go with,
oh, that
you
is
know,
such a load. I get so tired of hearing that there's feminine intuition.
It's true, though, Rick. It's true.
Like you're
it's
all
so friggin' true.
Cleo from the Psychic Friends Network or something. I'm not saying people
not
don't
about.
Have intuition, but this idea that women have some sort of secret third eye that they can see on the astral plane with is just the
we
biggest
didn't say
load.
That.
So exactly what you said. You said women have a special intuition.
Well, they do. They
I mean,
have an
they
intuition.
Really they really everybody has an intuition.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying.
But you're always saying how men are clueless about women's signs. So perhaps this woman is throwing out signs that the guy's not quite catching.
Maybe. And I will also say this, though. I'm also willing to play the devil's advocate. Say, well, look, maybe he's just clueless. Maybe there's nothing going on. Again, maybe he's just never gotten out of his college mindset where you can just go out and hang out and party and crash wherever you crash. Some guys are like that. Some guys, whatever their age, just haven't left the frat house yet.
Yeah,
you know
but
what
we
I mean?
Even know...
Hold on. Harpy, let me finish.
Excuse me.
I'm saying some guys just don't ever grow up until you sit them down and say, dude, you know, you're not 18 anymore. You know, you're in a committee. You gotta grow up and do a thing. So it's entirely possible that she just hasn't sat him down and say, look, I know maybe this is how you lived your life before me, and you've got friends, and you've even got female friends, and that's fine. But you're with me. There's got to be some sort of parameters. There's got to be, you know, whatever. And if after all that... And if she says, look, I suspect, I think, I have a hunch, I have a bad feeling, and if he looks her in the eye and says, look, you know, it's just a thing, there's nothing going on, and she still is feeling bad, then I think, you know, at that point, you know, you gotta wonder whether you should even be in a relationship. If you ask him, he tells you, and you won't believe him, I think that says something about the way that the girl feels about the relationship, period. That's just my opinion. Alright, we gotta do a thing. We'll come back. We got top five coming up, and Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. So that's all on the way. We do want to take this moment right here, though, to wish a couple birthdays. One is to, and it's to Lorne, who brought us
Lorne, who brought us the candles.
Lorne, who brought us the candles from Wicked Wicks, handcrafted candles made in Portland, Oregon, who brought us all the candles here. We also want to give a big birthday shout out to Krista Abrazzini, and she is the one. She took all the. You may remember Krista from being, she was the blonde who interviewed you outside the Clinton Street Theater if you went to see Bigger Than Jesus. Comrade of the Rick Emerson Show, official photographer and go bitch for Bigger Than Jesus and of Remote Control. Again, if you were outside the Clinton Street Theater and there was a blonde with a camera out there, that was her. And of course, the official gilf of the Rick Emerson Show. So she of the boundless energy, infectious smile, and breasts that make grown men cry. So there you go. So happy birthday to Krista and to Lauren. So there you go. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, another f***ing year has come and gone. So grab your f***ing party hat and put that f***er on. We're going to drink a lot of f***ing beer and smoke a lot of f***ing pot. And if you're supposed to work tomorrow, better call and tell us to f*** off. Happy birthday to you. All your f***ing friends are here and your f***ing family too. Hope you get some f***ing action, f***ing drink until you spew. Happy f***ing birthday to you. Well, we're gonna go out and hit every f***ing bar. All your drinks are on the house, yeah, you're the f***ing star. Get all f***ing drunk and rowdy, gonna turn some f***ing heads. Gonna party down so f***ing hard, we're gonna tear this down to birthday to you. All your f***ing friends are here and your f***ing family too. Hope you get some f***ing action, f***ing drink until you spew. Happy f***ing birthday to you. I said happy f***ing birthday to you.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Could we be farther behind schedule today if we tried? No. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All right. Coming up here in just a short while, we got today's top five. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, the original Harry Scary Guy, host of his own damn fine radio program, which is even dammer and finer.
Not as hairy as it used to be, right?
Weekend. Clyde Lewis, looking good. You've got the Agent Smith going on today.
Yeah, I do. We have a Matrix party going on. We've been doing Matrix. We've been doing Halloween is what we call it. I don't know why. We just fell into all these parties that we were throwing, and we're doing a Matrix party tonight at Bodacious Classics. What it is that Dina DeCastro, who has been on this program, is going to be appearing with me and Dr. Larry Johns. We're going to discuss the Matrix, some of the esoteric natures of the Matrix.
Well, this is the best time of the year to be you, right?
Yeah, it is.
This is sort of like Halloween and all the time surrounding Halloween. That's sort of like your Passover and Ramadan and Christmas and New Year's and Arbor Day all rolled into one.
It is. I don't get much sleep, but it's worth it. And so being able to speak with Dina tonight, I think it's going to be wonderful. And she's very, very intuitive and very good.
Well, what? Tell us about this the demon thing.
Oh, well, I need to tell you you've seen it.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It was
of
creepy.
It?
It was like a doorway in a house or
yeah, exactly.
A doorway in a house, and you watch it, and then I mean, I'll tell you, people know that I'm skeptical about stuff, but it was creepy. Whatever it was creepy looking. It was like this weird, translucent, but this what's the word I'm looking for? But it's sort of transparent, semi-transparent, sort of black, like gauzy figure, sort of like quickly strides across the room in front
and
of the
goes
camera.
Under the door.
And it goes under the door. I mean, it's creepy looking. There's no doubt about it. It's
really interesting that, you know, something like that can easily be faked, and we know that. And there's a guy, his name's Jeff Badgett. He's a good friend of mine. He's a gamer. He makes games. He works at Archangel Games. He has many computers. He's very much he's a computer god is what he is. And the guy took the footage because I asked him to take the footage and analyze it to see if it's been faked. Well, the scary part is he called my program and he told me that his, you know, and like everybody else who's had this footage, their computer crashed. And it's his computer crashed.
Well, tried to show it to me and the computer was like crashing on it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So, but I asked him, I said, does it have anything to do with the program? Is there any viruses? He says, no. He says, what's really interesting is when he tried to take apart the footage to see if the footage was fake, he said it was the strangest thing happened. Another image duplicated itself right next to it in the footage. And he says that he's curious because he says that everybody who has seen the footage sees something different each time. He says that it's a shadowy figure, but he said other people have said that they've seen the shadowy figure walk across the room, and then they look down at the floor, and they see something that looks like it has a tail, something really hideous and scary. So what we've got here, and I was talking with Betsy last night, she was telling me that, you know, what if this thing has essence that's alive on a disc? And I didn't know what to think about it, but it's kind of like the Ghost in the Shell idea. So we're discussing this, and it's something that has gotten out of hand. Something that it's frightening, to say the least. There are people who are warning me not to do this. I don't think I harmed everybody in the process of showing this, but everybody who's seen it said that it lives up to the hype. Now, I may want to show it again for people who are listening to this program and who are interested in having a paranormal experience. I will announce on the show when I'm planning on showing it again. I'll probably show it again, and if I do, I'll show it again at the bar again, because that's the only place I have available to me where a lot of people can gather together. And I'll probably show it again. And when I do, you know, take a look at it. Look at it objectively. I'm not doing this for you to believe. I'm doing this for you to understand and try to understand what you're seeing.
All right, we got more on the way in just a second. Let's quickly get Jim in Lake Oswego. What's up, man?
Oh, hey, how's it going?
What do you got?
Listen, I hate to ruin a potentially humorous event for you, but those defibrillators, they can't be used as party toys. If an individual is having an event, you turn it on and put the pads on the person, and then the machine determines whether or not they're going to get zapped.
Oh, that's too bad. So I couldn't just we couldn't just zap Jolie just to amuse ourselves.
No, but now the ever resourceful Matt may be able to circumvent things in the software that could possibly.
Not that we would advocate hacking into the defibrillator.
Never.
Yeah, that's not something we can do. All right, there you go.
Do they just have a card or some kind of insert that controls the programming?
No, I don't want to know. We're not going to answer that question. That's Jim and Lake Oswego. We're going to do this. We're going to come back. More Clyde Lewis. Today's top five. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-737-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Don't forget, it's 1 week from today. Those new Guns N' Roses DVDs come out. 3 Guns N' Roses DVDs. It's coming to stores here next week. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Here's Axl Rose. Don't
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-775-9555 is your top five for Tuesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count,
don't you? Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And it was on this week in 1985 that Microsoft released a little product called Windows, version 1.01. The operating system came on 5 5-inch floppy disk and was terrible in every sense. It froze frequently, took up too much space, and often crashed your computer. Oh, times have changed. Or have they? In the meantime, the music world has crashed all by itself. Just behold the evidence. These are the top 5 songs from this week in 1985. With honorable mention going to Starship, and We Built This City.
Yeah, feel the quality. Is there anything more terrible than this song?
I think Grace Slick was embarrassed to even be there. Did you see how much it hurt her to sing the song?
And then they followed this up with that hideous Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. Dun, dun.
Say you don't know me.
This is the first record I ever bought of my own free will.
You're kidding me.
No.
I actually bought a 12-inch of this.
Really?
12-inch single.
My this is the first... Matt and Sarah dancing. This is the first...
We're doing our 80s dance.
This is the first tape... It was actually on cassette. This is the first cassette I bought of my own free will that wasn't, like, given to me. I had, like, a gift certificate to Woolworths or some crap. Like, I got about that Starship. That's just terrible, man. I mean, and it had that Sarah song, and it had, what else? It had something else on it that was awful.
This is the mediocre pop that killed rock and roll back in the 80s. Just thought that, you know, that.
1985 is, like, a low point.
And you contributed to it. This killed rock and roll.
Somewhere there's a guy with two synthesizers playing, one on top and one on the bottom.
Yeah, with
song.
The guitar.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting there going, this is going to kick some ass.
And this song
man.
Went number one.
I know.
This was a number one single.
And then it was number one. What they did is they sent copies of it to stations. That way you could talk over and say, it's the big city. Was it? It's crap.
Oh, I was into listening to this. Now, number 5 is Glenn Frey, You Belong to the City.
The hits just keep on coming.
Oh, God.
Listen to that.
Welcome to Melodies After Dawn.
Call us now with your request.
Magic 107.5. I'm Clyde Lewis with Mark in the Morning. And that's what it reminds me of.
Magic was actually 106.7 in the Portland market.
That's 107.5.
It's my favorite station when I was a kid.
Wait. Don't worry, Crockett. We'll get the scum that did this. We've got a big arms shipment coming on a boat driven by Phil Collins tomorrow. We've got to go take it out. Where's my alligator?
This one's there.
Yeah!
Mark in the Morning of the AM. Clyde Lewis, hi.
This ought to be sampled. Somebody ought to sample this. I had the Miami Vice soundtrack that had that Grandmaster Melly Mel thing that...
Vice.
That horrible, terrible song. Sarah doesn't even know what we're talking about. It's awful.
He's like, Grandmaster Melly who?
My friend Carl used to come to school in the freaking suit with the... This is the same guy that helped sing on Hotel California. Same guy that, you know... The part of the band that produced Desperado. Wasted Time
is the most underrated Eagles song of all time.
I know, but then from the Eagles to... And at the same time, Don Henley was singing, like, Dirty Laundry, Last Worthless Evening, Heart of the Matter. Glenn Frey's doing this and pitching health club memberships.
How far off this was Boys of Summer?
This about the same time.
Yeah, pretty close.
So, yeah, Don Henley's doing one of the most revered rock and roll videos of all time. This is what Glenn Frey's doing.
Number 4, Aha, Take On Me.
This is a great song, though.
Great video, too.
Come on. Yeah, this is a video. This video has never gotten old.
I was working at a light station at the time, and I told the program director, I just heard the song by Aha. It's called Take On Me, and I think it's going to be a hot one. It's going to be a hot song. He looked at me and says, hey, I programmed the radio station. I don't care about that song. 2 weeks later, he was playing it. This made me mad. I thought, you're the son.
Sarah Dillon on keyboards.
Yeah.
It's got one of the best videos of all time as well.
Yeah, this video has never gotten old. Still looks great. And I never imagined nobody's ever done a video like this. They did it all by hand, too. No computer animation. Video was done by hand.
I used to really love this song. I still do.
It's a beautiful song.
I think it measures up and it sticks.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah,
it really is. Newfound Glory does a pretty interesting cover of this, too.
Yeah.
So does MXPX.
And at number three, Whitney Houston, Save It All My Love for You.
Okay. And the quality comes to an abrupt, screechy end.
I hate Whitney Houston with every fiber, every sinew in my body. I hate her. I despise this woman. I used to really like her, and now it's
she's got a 15 octave.
She's saving all her love for you.
You know this song. When I listen to it,
hang yourself too.
It sounds like she's this needy woman. Listen to her. You got your family and you're cheating on your wife, but you know, I'll just save all my love for you, and then I will carve your name into my chest, and then I will boil a rabbit on you. That's what it sounds like.
And at number two, Jan Hammer, the Miami Vice.
Jan Hammer, baby. That's what I'm telling you. This song went number one, too. The first instrumental in like 70 years to go number one.
It sounds like a million.
No, I don't think so.
Axel F and this, that was
like... Axel F went before this, right?
Harold Faltermeyer.
It's like when you download something on the internet and a MIDI comes up, this is the MIDI from hell right here.
It really is.
Hold on, flick him.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah! All I picture is those, like, flamingos and the chicks with the big cans walking by, and then the Hyalai guy.
Remember the mesh?
The hotel with the hole in it with the art sculpture?
Yeah.
Hey, I wore the mesh shoes, the pleated pants, and the pink shirts, man. I was there. I had Hawaiian shirts on. I went to a club.
Looking like a big bowl of gelati.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's number one.
Listen to that.
Here's number one, Stevie Wonder, Part-Time Lover.
Another bad song. About cheating, and
this is from the same man who did Inner Visions and Superstition, the man who did The Secret Life of Plants, the man who did Fingertips and Uptight All Right. He does this. Is this from the same album that I Just Called to Say I Love You? That even Square Circle record? This is the inspiration for Eddie Murphy to have a singing career, by the way, this song. Alright, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, we come now to the saddest part of the Rick Emerson Show, the final segment here of the little thing that we do. Clyde, you're going to be tonight where?
Yeah, I'll be out at Bodacious Classics tonight speaking with Dina DeCastro. Also, Betsy will be there dressed as Trinity, and she will be doing a dance for everyone. So it's going to be a beautiful thing out there.
Trinity dance.
And last night, in fact, I'm dressed as Agent Smith. We were doing a nice little choreographed deal where I was beating her up, and she was beating me up. It was a lot of fun. So if you want to watch, you know, Clyde get beat up by a very sexy woman in black leather, you can come out to Bodacious Classics, 2433 Southeast Powell tonight, 8:30.
All right. We're next seeing a radio correspondent, Jim Roop, Kristen McCannon, Clyde Lewis, of course, Lawrence Fishburne, Jeff Burr, and Jolie from the front desk. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. We'll see you in 21 hours. Like us next, followed by the Phil Hendry Show. As always, thanks for listening. Don't let the bastards grind it down. Be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye.
on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.